Hallelujah. We thank God for this. Praise the Lord. Amen. Everybody good?
Amen.
Amen. That's why I need that energy. Pastor's going through rough this week. Cold try to take me out. But thank God I'm feeling better today.
Amen.
And I've been feeling all week, so I thank God for that. So as you know, everyone that's here, we've been in this series called Faith and Finances. And I hope you've enjoyed this series thus far.
Amen.
We're learning to trust God in everything pertaining to us, especially in the area of our finances. Amen. And today, for a subject, we're going to use protect yourself at all times.
Amen.
Amen. Protect yourself at all times. What do you mean, Pastor? Protect yourself at all times. We're going to look back in the book of Malachi real quick. Malachi chapter 3. Check this out. Verse 11, it says this. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. We spent the last few weeks talking about the importance and criticality of tithing. I've seen a bunch of people become first-time tithers or rededicated tithers, amen? That they say, you know what, I'm going to trust God again. And that's been amazing to me and Lady Thomas and I. But I'm so excited this year because I can see the vision of the ministry going to another level when you decide to give. When you get a hold of these principles, not only does it bless the ministry, but it blesses you in your own individual life.
Amen.
Yeah. So in order for us to really walk in financial favor, I truly believe that it begins and ends with making God first in your life.
Yeah.
God has to be first. So everybody shout this real quick. Everybody say, God is my first priority.
God is my first priority.
Yes, yes. I got y'all tape saying it too. This is a huge statement that can be easily verified by your commitment to biblical stewardship.
Amen.
All right? So this is what you got to learn. This is why what you do when you're giving God your first and your best, this is the results of it. You're giving God your time, your talent, and your treasure.
Amen.
Yeah. I give God the first of my life. When I get up in the morning, I'm praying over my spouse. I'm praying over my kids. I'm praying over my family. I'm praying over the church, the members, your family, our city. I got to give God the first and the best of my time, my talent. I got to spend hours, and I got to study God's word and be prepared to minister to y'all. I got to give God the best of my talent. If I'm a singer, I got to be willing to go to practice and learn so I can give God the best of whatever he's blessed me with. If I'm a servant, I got to be willing to show up and do what I need to do. Whatever I'm doing, I give God the best. And when it comes to my treasure, I'm willing to part with my tenth to show God where my treasure is, where my heart is also. So the last few weeks, we made every effort to show you the difference between law tithing and grace tithing. Because there's a difference. And what I mean is, I will never use Malachi 3. I've said this before, but I always feel I have to reiterate it. I will never use Malachi 3 and to bait you into giving.
Amen.
Yeah, I don't want to scare you into giving. I never want to do that, no, because you're not moving in faith. So check this out. Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offering. You are cursed with the curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. If I tell you that you are cursed and that's why you give, that's all bad. If you were worried about a curse, that's the only way you give. You're operating in fear and not faith. And God never intended for you to operate like this. So Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament, which means Jesus hadn't came yet. So it's roughly 400 years of silence before Jesus shows up on the scene. So there's nothing between these books. But I love this. Jesus came to swallow up death and reverse the curse.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. So when Jesus died for your sins and mine, he reversed the curse.
Yeah,
yeah, I feel like preaching that.
Yeah.
All right, check this out. Galatians 3. Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it was written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So Jesus on the cross, he hung from the tree. The tree is the wood. This verse right there lets me know that the curse is gone.
Amen.
You're not cursed if you don't tithe. I can't say that because if Jesus died for it all, he either did or he didn't. He didn't die for every sin that I ever did, every sin I'm going to commit, or he didn't. But the Bible says he did. He redeemed us. So the curse is gone.
Amen.
But the principle ain't gone. So Jesus died on the cross to signify the curse is gone. But also while we're here in Black History Month, let me take a little pastoral privilege and park right there. Dr. James Cone, a great black theologian who went home with the Lord last year, also a man of God. So when he was a theological student, Malcolm X and the Black Power Movement was booming. It was all black man this and black man that. They tried to make Christianity into the white man's religion. But Cone said, no, no, no. If you read the Bible, if you look at it clearly, Jesus always identified with the marginalized. God always dealt with the oppressed people. And a matter of fact, one of his last works was called this, the cross and the lynching tree. Woo. In his book, he made an example to say that the cross is an example of the lynching tree that we have faced as black people dealing with slavery in this country. It trips me out because if anybody knows what black folks went through, it's that Palestinian Jew, Jesus Christ. Yeah, he was born into poverty, grew up with a single mother, had greatness in him, but people hated on him and they killed him. If that don't sound like a brother, I don't know what to do. He grew up with a single mother in poverty. Greatness was brewing inside of him, but the people hated on him and they ended up killing him. So I thank God that he identifies with us. Don't never let people think that the Bible doesn't tell you black history. We all through that mud. Amen. So look at this. Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now with this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. Look at the promise right there. God has promised this. And we discussed how tithing has to become as natural as breathing. Yeah, tithing has to become as natural as me just walking down the street. It has to become natural. I don't even think about it. It's involuntary, like my heartbeat. So before we can claim a certain spiritual maturity, you got to get hold of this principle.
Amen.
You have to. So to get to the point that a dime out of a dollar is not going to keep me out the blessed place.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. 10 cents ain't going to keep me out the blessed place. No, no. In other words, we're going to wrestle with something every day in our life. Something. As a believer, you're going to wrestle with something. Something in your flesh, whether it's your attitude, your anger, your lust, your greed. So you're going to wrestle with something as a believer all the way until you die. But since I'm going to have a tug of war in my life about something, I don't want it to be tithing.
Amen.
If I'm going to battle with something, this is the last thing I want to battle with. I want this to be just natural. I want to just give to God. I don't want to force myself to battle with this one. Amen.
Amen.
So look at this. Verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, said the Lord of the hosts. Look at another verse, it's the New Living Translation. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall far from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven armies. One more version. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not cast their fruit, says the Lord of hosts, the Lord Almighty. Y'all didn't get that, I guess. I don't know if that didn't hit y'all somewhere. It hit me somewhere, though. We cannot forget to receive this blessing. There must be a medium of exchange. So God is saying, once you tithe, you do this, I'm going to rebuke something. If you were here last week, we talked about what? How to make an exchange, right? So we had to make an exchange. And one thing I showed you was this scripture right here. Check this out. Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall man give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you.
Amen.
So no matter how much you want to increase in your life, it won't happen until you decide to give.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you, this verse makes me want to literally give all my money away. Last week I asked those to sow a sacrificial seed last week. Y'all remember that? And we sowed the seed. And as we sowed the seed, God spoke to Letty Thomas. We put our money with the seed. But God said, you know what? She might need this for something else. Let's give her the money, and then we're going to go buy some groceries. So we went ahead and gave her the money, and then went to go buy groceries. Amen. Spent $150 at the grocery store, right? This was Sunday. On Tuesday, check this out. On Tuesday morning, my Cash App rang up for $300. Y'all missed that. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down. When we decided to give something out of our heart, God made that thing come back on a few days later. Why? Because of the faithfulness. He doubled what we gave.
Amen.
Because God is awesome to us. Amen. He wants to show you what he can do, but you got to trust him.
Amen.
And also on Tuesday, guess what happened to the Thomas household? I got a letter in the mail. And it said, Mr. Thomas, we're giving you this letter to inform you that you have $1,500 of debt, and we're going to decide to cancel it.
Amen.
I got a letter. I'm going to frame it probably. How you gonna call and send me a letter and tell me we canceling like $1,500 worth of debt? Who does that, amen? So just check this out. But this just ain't starting though. God promised to give us what? Running over is giving it and be given to you. I've been tithing for 13 years. I'm teaching you guys about tithing, about the principles of giving God first and giving God. You think he ain't gonna bless me for doing what I'm doing? But check it out. I wanna hear y'all testimonies. I know he ain't gonna just do it for me, because God is awesome. He loves us all. We all his children when you make up your mind to give to God. He's going to do something crazy to blow your mind. Because remember last week, the widow made an exchange. But I had to tell you this. You have to be careful, because your flesh will take you out of favor. Yeah. If you let your flesh run you, it'll take you out of favor. What do you mean? Your doubt. Your unbelief. Or your unwillingness to make an exchange.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. See, most churches stop at the curse and don't go past that. Not here, no, we're not doing that. Why would I worry about a curse when a blessing is so good?
Yeah,
why am I concerned with a curse when I see the blessing is right there for me to get? Yeah. Check this out. Let me go back to verse 11 so y'all can see that. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not catch their fruit, says the Lord Almighty.
Amen.
So the 21st century equivalent would be this. I will protect your money.
Yeah,
I love that. I love that. God said, I will protect your money. Today's medium of exchange is what? Money. It's not corn. It's not wheat. It's not barley. It's none of that. Send Citizen Gas some corn and see what happens to your gas. Go ahead and send Citizen some corn. Say, look, I'm going to pay y'all corn this month. God bless you. Yeah. Send IPL some barley and see if you're in the dark with candles. Having prayer night and visuals at home. Go to the gas station and say, I'm going to give y'all 20 ounces a week for this gallons of gas and see what happens. No, you can't do that. Why? Because in this times it was crops, but in our times it's money. So God is saying what? I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. He's literally saying that I will protect your money. So when I decide to tithe, you protect my finances at all times. Yeah. And this thing called life, I cannot put enough emphasis on protecting yourself at all times.
Yeah,
we have a real enemy that's trying to hurt you. He's trying to hurt me and you. He don't care about us. The devil is real. And if anybody here that watches boxing, in the sport of boxing, when a referee comes out, he gives you your instructions. He said, we went over this in the locker room. We went over this. Follow my command. And last but not least, protect yourself at all times.
Yeah.
Why does he say protect yourself at all times? Because you're about to be in a battle.
Uh-huh.
And I don't care what's going on. I might miss something, but you are fighting, so you got to be ready for your enemy. He's here to knock you out, clean cut, or he might even kill you if you get hit the wrong way and follow that mat. So if nothing else, protect yourself at all times. So if I must do that, check this out, what the Bible says to us, to protect myself, 1 Peter 5, be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Yeah.
You see what Peter's telling us?
Yeah.
To be sober, to be alert, to be careful, to be diligent, to be watchful for possible dangers or difficulties. Because the devil, what is the devil doing? He's seeking someone to devour.
Yes,
that's what the enemy's doing. He's seeking someone to take out. That's what he does. And remember, Malachi 3, don't miss this. What did God say? Then I will rebuke the devourer for your sake.
Amen.
Yeah, I think y'all getting with me now. I think so. So I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. So Peter tells us the devil is looking for a person, someone to devour. And when I'm looking for someone to devour, what do? I start with something that's easy.
Wow.
Yeah. When a lion is coming to kill something, he's after everybody. What does he do? He looks for the slowest gazelle. He looks for the baby in the bunch. The one that's the weakest, because that's the one that's easiest to get to. So Malachi says this, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I will rebuke the devourer for messing with you. Who is he talking about? Malachi is talking about the tither. I'm going to protect you financially. So when I decide to tithe, I keep the devourer from coming into my life, which is ultimately the devil is the devourer, because he hates you and me. So a tither does what? They protect themselves at all times. So the only people left for the enemy to devour or the non-tithers. Yeah. It amazes me because we get insurance on our cars, our homes, because we want our stuff protected. And sometimes we pay years and years of insurance and nothing happens and we don't get a dime back. Jesus. Insurance is a type of scam almost, don't it? You pay all this insurance, never have an accident, they don't send nothing back. Can I get them years and 10 years of no accident money back, please? But they don't care about nothing. It trips me out. The only thing that gives us something back is life insurance. So which is something we all should have, and I want to say that too. Make sure you got some life insurance. Life is not guaranteed to none of us. I was looking up for $67. You can get like $200,000 worth of life insurance. Do you know what you can do? That's no GoFundMe pages. You know you can set your kids up to be blessed with $200,000 to help them start their own business. A lot of these other races are making it because they're living off dead people money. And for us, we play PlayStation, we get fast food, we do everything else. And don't protect our family. Yeah. When we leave here, we should leave our children something to build with instead of leaving them in debt. Yeah, I'm preaching. It's all right. I know I'm preaching. It's cool. God said, prove me. Check this out. Prove me. Try me like I'm playing. If I don't bless you and open up the windows of heaven so you won't have enough room to receive it. So we get insurance and we think Nationwide is on our side. Yeah, we do. Nationwide, yeah. I'm going to leave that right there. Praise God. You stop. We think Allstate keeps us in good hands. But it trips me out because I know someone who was undefeated. I know someone who promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Yeah. I know someone that says that I got you in my hands and no one can even pluck you out of my hands. That if you in my hands, I don't care if they're a professional plucker. I don't care what their job description is. If you in my hands, they can't pluck you out. Yeah. I know somebody that says he loves us to the ends of the earth and promised to be with us. So you better get yourself protected by the one who can really protect. So let me clarify this. Because I'm a tither doesn't mean the devil won't attack me. Yeah. Just because I'm a tither don't mean ain't nothing gonna happen. Ain't how it works. No, baby, no. Even protected tithers get hit with hooks of hard times. Yeah. Sometimes they get hit with the right jab of job crisis. Yeah. Some of us have even been hit with the uppercut of underfunded retirements. Some of us are even on a standing 8 count right now. We are down and out. We on the standing 8 count. One more push by the enemy, we're going to fall over. But check this out. The question is, if you went all through that, if you went through all that fight, how are you still in the fight? If the enemies almost took you out and did all these things, hit you with uppercuts and jabs and rights and lefts, you on the standing 8 count, how are you still in the fight? Tell somebody because I got a good corner man. Yeah, I got a good corner man. Yeah, see, if you don't know nothing about boxing, let me help you out. The corner man in the fight, what does he do? He cleans my cuts when I go to the corner when it's a break. Or the corner man gets the blood out of my eyes so I can see my enemy clearly now. The corner man helps me with my swelling when I'm going down. But check this out. The corner man also gives me instructions during the fight. Yeah, he gives me instructions during the fight. Check this out. The corner man just doesn't tell me what I want to hear, but tells me what I need to know. Yeah. So if the enemy is attacking me, he gives me instructions on how to defend and combat his next move. If you ain't figured it out yet, Jesus is my corner man, amen. Jesus is on my side, so if you are willing to listen to his instructions, willing to train and obey and follow his word, guess what? You're going to be prepared for the fight.
Yeah, amen. Yes, you will.
And Jesus gives us great instructions. Check this out. There's something he'll give us like this. 1 Timothy chapter 6, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So remember, tithing is all about faith. The more I tithe, the more I stay protected. When I decide to give to God and he rebukes the devourer for my sakes, now I'm protected at all times. And Pastor Tithing, I told you I was going to drop on this real quick. Also talking about our first fruits, amen. Because that's something else we go above and beyond. Look at Leviticus 23, verses 9 through 11. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying this, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you and reap in its harvest, Then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. And on the day after Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. So the children of Israel were in the wilderness. They were in the wilderness for 40 years. They had been messed up from Egyptian captivity. They had escaped God's will now. They should have made it over there sooner, but now it's taking them 40 years to get where they need to be. That gives us a lesson in obedience. They should have been there real quick, but because they were disobedient to God, a quick trip took 40 years. So sometimes God, and we ain't going to ever get there, we take the long route. Yeah. We refuse to be obedient. So check this out. The children of Israel were about to go into this land flowing with milk and honey that God had promised them. But he said, when you get this land that I gave you and you reap the harvest, bring the first fruits to me. Bring it to the priest. That's why I said I'm going to have a special basket up here and I'm going to wave it before the Lord and pray your blessings on it, because when you reap the harvest, bring me the first. What does the first symbolize? The first fruit symbolize consecration of the whole harvest to God. Amen. Yeah, consecration means to be set apart, means to keep holy, to be separate. So he says, guess what? You want to pledge the whole thing of your harvest to me, not only so I bless it right now, but I bless your next harvest too. Mm-hmm. See, if I see a principle in the Bible, I go after it. If I find the principle, it has to still work, because God is not a man, he should lie.
Amen.
Even though it don't apply to me, I still go after the principle. So I want God to bless my whole year. I want God to bless me, because my harvest now represents me. As my every year I'm born, I get a new chance on life. God's giving me a new year to see things, a new year to be around. I'm trying to be blessed and be better than I was last year.
Amen.
So with that said, if I see that, I'm going to offer up something outside my tithe. Because guess what? The tithe told me that God was going to pour me out a blessing I wouldn't have room enough to receive. I just don't want that one done. I want to be overwhelmed with blessings.
Amen.
Yeah, I just don't want the average Joe blessings. I want more and more and more, because I believe God can do anything.
Amen.
So I want more of God. I don't know about you, but I got to help people. I got a legacy I got to leave behind. I want to help as many people as I can. And the Bible says this, that a wise man is an inheritance for his children's children. Mm-hmm. So it means before I leave earth, my grandkids should be straight. I should make that happen. That's what God called us to do, a wise man. But we got to be wise. So look at what Proverbs Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, look what he said about the first fruit, Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine.
Amen.
So the biblical view of our possessions demands using them to honor God. So when God has blessed us with anything, it's calling us to honor God with it. But this only happens when we trust God. If I don't trust you, I'm not going to honor you. If I don't believe you who you say you are, I'm not going to honor you. Look what he wrote a couple verses before that. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct my paths. So God promises that if we trust him, he's going to direct our paths. See, when we don't trust, we get to go on our own routes, taking scenic routes and get us messed up. But you got to trust him when you can't trace him. You got to give it to him, even though it seems messed up. And that's what faith is about. Faith isn't about seeing the staircase. It's about taking the next step. So when you're moving in faith, you got to realize God loves you and he cares, and he ain't going to let nothing bad happen to you. Because when something's happening, he's working all things together for what? For our good that love God.
That's it.
So honor the Lord with your possessions. So once I trust him, it's easy for me to honor him with my possessions. Why? Because where my heart is, where my treasure is also. So the first fruit goes beyond my tithe, because I'm going to honor God with all my increase. Yeah. Not just for the special first fruit offering that we're doing, but this is how I look at my first fruit. Anytime God lets some money come through my hands, I got to bless him with it.
Amen.
Because he didn't have to let me have it.
Yeah.
So if I get something outside of my regular check or whatever God has blessed me with, I'm going to bless him with it. Why? Because he's called me to do that, because I'm honoring him with everything he's given me, because I want some increase.
Yeah.
Look at the promise of God. It's trying to get something, not trying to get something from us, but it's trying to get something to you. Yeah, God never trying to get something from you. The Bible says he owns the work, the earth and the fullness thereof. He owns everything. Cattle on a thousand hills. Everything is God. So God is never trying to, not trying to get something from you. He's trying to get something to you.
Amen.
So look at the promise. My barns will be filled with plenty and my vats will overflow with new wine. So by trusting God and by giving God my first and my best, willingly and not grudgingly, I'm expressing my gratitude for all that he gives me. The result of such faithfulness is prosperity and satisfaction. My prayers throughout this series, from the tithe, which is the beginning, to the first fruits, if everybody, if one thing that you get from this series, it's all about honoring God.
Amen.
I'm going to close with this story. It's an amazing story. It's a man named R.G. Letourneau. He was a Christian businessman. In 1914, he dropped out of school and began working in the iron foundry at the age of 14. He learned plenty of trades in his time, but in 1919, he became a Christian. And he said, you know what? I feel a tug in my heart. God is calling me to do something. I need to do something for God. So he went to his pastor, and his pastor sat there with him, and he prayed for him. He thought, if I'm going to serve God, I got to be a businessman. I mean, I got to be a missionary. I got to be a pastor. I got to be a minister, because God's tugging on my heart. So the pastor prayed with him and said, you know what? God said he need a businessman too. And he couldn't believe it. He thought he was going to tell him he needed to be a pastor. So it's important, check this out, to have a man of God in your life that hears God concerning you.
Amen.
That's for my honorary members. Don't worry about it. I love y'all too. In 1927, at age 40, he had a big construction job and went into $100,000 worth of debt. It's 1927, y'all, it's a lot of money. His next job, the company backed him but demanded that if we're going to back you, you're going to work even on Sundays. Well, that's a problem. I love God. I'm a worshiper. So he said, if you don't do this, we're going to foreclose your home and foreclose on the business. You're not going to have anything. So he was struggling with it. RG gave it to God. And as the man was on his way to shut him down, when he got there, he had a change of heart. He finished the job without working not one Sunday, but he was still in debt. And he ended up getting an accountant named Mr. Frost. And he told Mr. Frost, I skipped my yearly commitment. I'm supposed to give $5,000 to the church for their missionary outreach. And Mr. Frost said, you are still in debt. You can't afford to get enough $5,000. What are you doing? That's going to mess it up. You still need to pay these debts. But he decided, you know what? My business partner is God. So I made a commitment. I'm going to give this $5,000 even though I'm struggling right now in debt. He paid his commitments and was able to stay afloat during the next year. And then guess what? That business took off. His profits over the next six years went from $52,000 to $1.4 million. In 1935, his wife had a thought from God, because God had blessed him so much. God had messed him up. She had an epiphany. The word I was looking for. She had an epiphany from God and said, you know what? I want to see God's kingdom advance. So since God has blessed us and been so good to us, why don't we live off 10% and give God 90%? I'm going to repeat that because it blew my mind too. They said we're going to live off the 10% and give God 90%. They flip-flopped the tithing. And I'm not suggesting that any of us do the same, but the point I want to make you from that is this. You can't outgive God.
Yeah.
You can't outgive God. Over those years, they were sustainable. They had over $40 million by the 1940s, but were still living off the 10%. So when I tithe, he opens up the windows of heaven to pour us out a blessing I won't have room enough to receive. Yeah. He don't want to take nothing from me. He's trying to get something to me. When I get my first fruits, my barns are filled and my vats are bursting with new wine. He don't want to take nothing from me. He trying to get something to me. When I give him all my sins, he make me holy. He ain't trying to take nothing from me. He trying to get something to me. When I give him my soul, he gives me eternity in heaven. He not trying to take nothing from me. He trying to get something to me. So no matter what I give God, God gonna always give me more than I gave him. No matter what I give him, he always gives me more. So never think God is trying to get something from you. God is trying to get something to you.
Amen.
So when I love God and I say, God, I'm giving to you, whether it's my finances, my heart, my mind, my body, my spirit, whatever I decide to give to God, If I give myself the celibacy, he probably set me up for a husband or a wife.
That's good.
Whatever you give yourself to God, whatever you give him, it's never going to outgive to what he's going to give to you.
Amen.
God has set it up for you. He wants to bless you. You are his child. He loves you and cares.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
So the God I serve who loves you and he cares and hasn't missed a beat, it's up to us to make a decision. We want to trust him at his word.
Yeah.
And if I trust him, I'm going to honor him at his word. Yeah. Can we give God a praise in this place?
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. God has been so good and so kind to us all. And I know we're dealing with faith and finances. But more important than that is your soul. If I'm willing to depart with my finances, just the beginning of getting you where you need to be. But God is trying to get something to you today. He wants an increase in your life. He wants you to be a new person, a new creation. He wants your spirit man to grow. He wants to see you saved. He wants to see you not the same person you was, but being a new creation in Christ. So if anyone here has not made a decision for Christ, let today be your day. Let today be the day. Say, God, I'm here. I'm willing to give it all to you. I'm willing to give it all. Can't hold nothing back if you come to God. God already knows your flaws. He knows everything about you. He knows what you did last night, last week, and the day before that, year before. He know it all. He just waiting for you to say, you know what? I'm coming to you, God. Humbled as I can to say, God, I need you. I'm a lonely sinner. I need to be saved. So whatever you said, I need to know God is there. God came to save. God came to give something to you. Matter of fact, we honor God with our bodies on earth. What does he do when we die? He gives us new bodies in heaven. You cannot outgive God. God's coming to give something to you. So if you stand in the need, you say, you know what? I love God. I need to be saved. Or I need a church home, whatever the case may be. If you're already saved, you're looking for a church home, we love you to be here. We would love to be here to help you and get to where God has called you to be. But God loves you and he cares. God wants to give something to you. Never to take nothing from you. God wants to give it to you. So you know you stand in the need. If you know I need to be here, if you know I need to be connected, I need a man of God, a woman of God to be able to speak into my life, for me to be able to talk to pray with, whatever the case may be, let today be your day. Let God do what he needs to do in your life. Don't be stubborn. Don't let fear overtake you. Don't let fear overtake your faith. If you know you need God, if you know you need to be committed to the house of God, let today be your day. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you say, you know what, I need to be baptized. Pastor, I need to go down to that water because I am a believer in Christ. I need to be identified with the believers of Christ. I want to make that decision. Let today be your day. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. We thank you, oh God. Whatever you stand in need of, we are here, we care, we love you. I want to prove to you can't outgive God. You give it to God, ooh, he's going to put something extra on it. That's that extra sauce. He's going to put it on there because he's God. He loves you and he cares. If you know you need to be committed to the house of God, let today be your day. Say, God, I know. I know, I know, I know. Yes, baby, yes. Say, I know, I know, I know. God is real. He loves you and he cares. Allow God to be there. Don't let fear keep us in our seat. Don't let fear keep us down. Maybe you need special prayer, whatever the case may be, whatever you stand in the need of today. God is real. He loves you. He cares. Y'all know me. I don't draw out off the car. But I do want to make sure I give you the opportunity to say, you know what, God, this is what I need. This is what I need. Because God is there. He cares and he loves you. Anybody else who want to be baptized, want to recommit, rededicate your life to Christ, become a member, whatever the case is going to be, wherever you need. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. We've got to praise his face. For his goodness, his grace, and his mercy. Thank you, O God.